Hey, this is Jeremy Reeves, and you're about to listen to me being interviewed talking about split testing and boosting your conversions and profits and, you know, why you should do it, specific ways and how to do it, specific tests I've done, and, you know, all kinds of good stuff that'll help you grow your business. So I just wanted to, you know, to pop in here quick and say, you know, thank you for getting this CD. I really hope you enjoy it. And let me know if you have any information. You can read more about me at www.jeremyreeves.com. All right, enjoy the interview.
Our next featured guest for Internet Marketing the Net today is author, speaker, copywriter, and marketing expert Jeremy Reeves. Jeremy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Now, when you first told me about your story, I thought, wow, it's so interesting and unique, and I'm not even going to try to explain it to everybody. So why don't you go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
All right, sounds good. So mine actually starts when I was actually a little kid. Growing up, you know, literally, you know, as far back as I can remember, I always seemed to have this kind of gift for understanding and connecting with people. And, you know, as everybody on the call probably knows, that's really, really essential if you want to be a good marketer, is understanding people and connecting with them. And I mean, when I'm 7 or 8 years old, I was kind of the, you know, the relationship kind of guy on the playground, for all my friends. You know, whenever somebody had a problem, they always came to me, you know, whether the girl they liked didn't like them back, or they just got in a fight with one of their friends, or their teacher scolded them and they were upset, or, you know, whatever the case was back then. I was always, for some reason, the kid that they came to, you know, kind of get some consoling and for me to help them get through it. And what I later realized in my life was that people did that because of one simple reason, and that reason was because I was interested in them. You know, most people seem to be interested in themselves and don't really care, you know, what happens to other people. You know, for example, if somebody tells you a story and you immediately start, you know, your first sentence back to them is something that you did, that's a good hint that you're somebody that is interested in yourself instead of other people. So if it's, you know, that's kind of naturally how we are. It's a little bit of a learned skill for most people to be interested in other people. But it's really, really, really helpful, you know, in everything to finding a wife, to getting along with people, to getting clients, to, you know, to being a good marketer, you know, to everything. Eventually this actually led me, you know, luckily I was kind of born with that for, you know, for whatever reason. And it actually led me to get a degree in psychology. But what I realized a couple years into it is that college psychology is a little bit different than, you know, the kind of psychology that I was, interested in, which is like, you know, human psychology. College psychology is basically, you know, it goes like, you know, a person walks in your office with X symptom, you know, whatever it is. You talk to them for a few minutes, you determine what their issue is, based on, you know, a checklist of you know, things that they give you, and you prescribe them, you know, X drug. And really, you know, I've always been kind of against drugs, against like that type of thing. I even hate, when I get hurt, I even hate taking Advil unless it's absolutely necessary. So I really had no interest in that kind of stuff. And I kind of felt this growing void inside me. And that void eventually led me to business, which is where real psychology comes into play. Because in business, I can make it my life's work to actually study people, you know, study how humans think and understand, you know, kind of how they tick and what makes them, you know, in a marketing terms, you know, what makes them buy. This happened in my my senior year of college is when I really made the switch into, you know, into marketing, even though I eventually did get a bachelor's in psychology, but, you know, I'm not even using it. But, you know, I finally found what I was looking for, and I started my business while I was in college. And the funny thing is I can remember waking up at, you know, 5:30, which I still do to this day, you know, to get to my 7 o'clock class because I had to drive there. I went to school usually until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I came home, you know, got showered, got ready, and then went to work at a restaurant until about 11 or so. So, you know, they're pretty long days. But, you know, the cool thing about that was it taught me how to discipline myself, which in my mind is really what college is about. You know, I don't use my degree, obviously, these days, but, I mean, I'm making, you know, several times what I could have in any type of psychology, you know, degree, even several times what my professors were making. So, you know, but it's, you know, it's the kind of discipline that that helps me provide a really good service to my clients. That, you know, that kind of service led me to working with some of the world's leading entrepreneurs, such as Robert G. Allen and Mark Victor Hansen, the authors of Chicken Soup for the Soul, real estate mogul Dave Lindahl, the guys who used to be the well-known band Guns N' Roses. They used to be the marketing managers for them. Persuasion expert Joel Bauer, the millionaire maker Laura Langemeyer, and a bunch of, you know, Inc. 500 companies and dozens of you know, 7-8-figure online marketers, too, most of which, you know, they're kind of in their own little space, in their own little niches, and you guys probably wouldn't, you know, recognize their names. For those clients, I've generated well into the millions of dollars worth of extra profit from the advanced marketing strategies I put into place and, you know, different techniques I use to increase the conversions and net profits of their businesses. A couple other things about me. I'm also a certified partner of Visual Website Optimizer and have been certified as a landing page optimization specialist by Mech Labs. You know, between the tests that I've done both for myself and my clients, I literally have tens of millions of dollars worth of research under my belt. So, you know, I bring quite a bit of experience when it comes to split testing and conversions and, you know, increasing your profits and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all that wonderful information. And you have had a, like I said, a very interesting journey to get to where you are. And it's wonderful that you were able to discover your, you know, your talent and apply that to start your own business. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about why should our readers be split testing?
There's a lot of different reasons. I could probably list off several dozens of them, but I'll give you a couple of them. One of the biggest ones, obviously, is that split testing is pure profit. You know, if you, let's say you're making $10,000 a month and you increase your traffic by 50%, right? So, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, you're making 50% more money. And this is obviously assuming that your conversions stay the same. That's actually not even true because, you know, your gross profits might go up by 50%, but you're still paying for that traffic. The same thing with affiliates. If you get more affiliates, it's still only 50% profit. And then that's you know, you have to take that 50 or whatever you're giving to affiliates. It might not be 50%. It might be 20 or 80 or whatever it is. But then you have to, you know, take into consideration anything you're paying for employees, anything you're paying for, you know, overhead, for rent. And, you know, everything else that goes into running a business. So it's really not pure profit. Split testing is. I mean, if you're making $10,000 a month and you increase your conversions by 20%, that adds $2,000 a month, so 20%, straight to your bottom line, you know, besides maybe paying 50 or 100 bucks for, a month for a split testing tool. Or something like that, or even, you know, if you're using the Google Website Optimizer, that's free. So, you know, there really is no added expense. So pure profit is, obviously that's one of the biggest things. And that kind of leads into everything else. For example, you know, when you increase your revenue, it's not like you're just, you know, increasing your, you know, the money that you bring in. What you can do once you increase your conversions because of split testing is, you know, you can attract more affiliates because, you know, the better your conversions are and the better your earnings per click for the affiliates, the more affiliates that you're going to attract. And then, you know, then you get more traffic, and then the more traffic you get, then the faster you can test, and then the faster your conversions go up. And, you know, so there's a big snowballing effect in a positive way, of course. Another thing you can do is increase your customer cost acquisition. And that's basically how much you can spend to get a customer. So if you determine that your customer lifetime value is, let's just say you do it over 3 months. So, you know, a customer comes in your door and over the next 3 months they're worth $100 to your company. Well, you know, once you start split testing, you increase your conversions, you can actually increase, you know, what that cost is. And especially because a lot of times you can actually lower all of your traffic costs too. For example, if you're using AdWords and you split test that, you know, the more you split test and the higher conversions you get on your ads, the lower the cost per click. So that's another thing. And yet another thing you can do is increase your revenue on product creation, on outsourcing. So, for example, you can hire new employees once your profits go up, and more employees means that you're going to get more things done. I mean, you know, I mean, sometimes that's not the case, but, it, you know, in a healthy business, that's the case. You know, if you have two people versus if you have five, you know, five people, you're going to get more done, which is going to increase your profits. You know, you're going to get more traffic, or you're going to get, you know, better customer service, or whatever it is that you hired them for. You know, typically the more employees you have, the higher revenue you have. And, you know, split testing, you know, a lot of people think they see, oh, you know, maybe I'll get 5% increase or 10% increase. I've seen and personally done a lot of split tests that can double, triple, or even quadruple or more your profits. And that's, you know, you're usually not going to get that. You're not going to do one split test and quadruple your conversions. Usually it does happen sometimes. And it depends, you know, how good everything on your website is right now. Like if you paid a copywriter, you know, $10,000 to write your sales letter, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time to increase the conversions on that sales letter. But I mean, it's definitely so. I've beaten tons of controls, you know, by 40, 50, 60, 70%. But it's not something that's going to happen every day. But, you know, if you're a beginner to an intermediate kind of person and you did it all yourself and, you know, you're making good money, but you know that it could be better. Those are where you can really see, you know, doubling, tripling, quadrupling of your conversions and your profits. Which is really, really exciting. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot more. I could probably talk for, you know, for days about, you know, different reasons why you should split test. But that gives you a good sense of why you should.
All right, awesome. So just to be thorough, why don't you start by giving us a rundown of what split testing is and how it works?
Okay, yeah, sure. So if you don't know what split testing is, basically, you know, I could go into the science behind it and all that kind of, you know, techno-garble kind of stuff, but I'll make it really, really simple for you. So what happens is, let's just say you're split testing your homepage. So it's, you know, www.x.com. People hit your page, and the server, now you're doing this all through split testing software, and there's a lot of different types of software. There's Visual Website Optimizer, Google Website Optimizer. There's all kinds of different split testing tools you can use to do this. But basically what happens is a person hits your page and the software tool splits up that page into two versions. So if it's, you know, homepage www.x.com, one person hits that one, and then the next person that comes, they're going to hit www.x.com, you know, /2 or whatever, or -2. So there's, you know, there's two different pages, and if you can imagine a person, like imagine you're driving down a straight road and there's a Y in the road, so one person is going to go to the left, one goes to the right. And what happens is if 1 out of 100 people buys version A, that's a 1% conversion rate, and if 2 out of 100 people buy version B, that's a 2% conversion rate, and you've just doubled the conversion. So, and obviously those numbers wouldn't be valid, which we'll talk about a little bit later. That's kind of the basis of what split testing is. It basically just, you know, breaks apart, different pages, and your visitors go to one of the pages, and the split testing software that you're using calculates which one of those pages gives you a higher conversion.
Okay, wonderful. That's great. So now, assuming my readers go out and start split testing, what pages should they start split testing?
That's a really good question. Okay, so there's a lot of different pages. And again, this is going to depend on what type of website you have. You know, a lot of internet marketers are going to have maybe, you know, their first page is going to be a squeeze page, which then goes to a sales letter, and then they might have an upsell page, where if there's some people in e-commerce here, they're going to have, you know, hundreds of different pages. So I'll try to break them up as good as I can while I'm talking about this, and I think I'll be able to. So the first page that you should start testing is anything, you know, if you've heard of the term money page, basically any page that somebody can buy something on. So that could be, you know, or any page that they could buy something on, or that could lead them to buying something, or get them on your list, or some type of call to action. So, for example, you know, a few examples of money pages could be a landing page, it could be a sales letter, it could be a product page if you're an e-commerce store, and that upsell pages, downsell pages, anything, you know, after they buy. Basically, any, you know, if they're going to spend, if they have to click on a button on that page and it's going to give you money, that's a money page. I also consider landing pages or any page that they would fill out a form. That to me is a money page too, because it then gets them on your list, and then you could turn it into money. So that's, you know, those are kind of the main pages that you're going to test. But other pages that you can do are you know, pages that actually send traffic to those money pages. So that could be, you know, blog articles. There's a couple really cool WordPress plugins that are basically split testing. It's basically split testing software, but you can use it on individual blog posts, article directories. So you can actually split test your resource box in your article directories. Which, if you're a bum marketer, you know, people that write, you know, a lot of articles to get traffic to their websites, that's really, really important, because if you can turn your resource box from something that gets a 5% click-through rate to a 10 or 15, you're going to get, you know, if you can go from 5 to 10%, you just doubled the amount of traffic that you're going to get to your website, and probably doubled your income too. So they're really important to test. Nobody really thinks about testing resource boxes. That's also along the same lines of testing Google AdWords or Facebook ads. Basically, you know, any page that somebody is going to take an action on, you know, whether it's clicking an ad, whether it's buying something, signing up for something, you can test that page. I recommend obviously starting out with the pages that get the most traffic and the most conversions, simply because, you know, they're your best bang for your buck. Another page, and this is more for e-commerce sites, it's product pages. So I have a couple clients that have, you know, they have their home page and then a navigation bar link up at the top that says products. And on that products page, they have, you know, they list out, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 products that help people kind of figure out where they're going. So you can test those pages, which increases the traffic to all those different, you know, all those money pages. And then the last thing that you could test is your checkout page or your shopping cart. And this is something that very few people do, typically because it's a little bit harder to do. You can do this. The way I do this is I use a tool called Visual Website Optimizer. And you can do it with them. It would be a little bit hard to explain how to do it over an interview. That would call more for like a video. But I would recommend, if you're actively split testing, I would recommend going to visualwebsiteoptimizer.com and trying that out. I think it's the lowest level is like $50 a month, and they have a free trial and all that kind of stuff. And if you get it, you know, just email their support and ask them how you can test your checkout page. They have amazing support. It's one of the best support systems I've ever worked with. And just so you know, I don't make any money telling you that. I use them all the time, and I love the split testing tool. And I also actually write articles on their website, so you could go check out some of my articles on their website. But that's pretty much it. you know, again, let me, I'll just recap. You're basically looking to test, you know, the first thing you should look for is any page that has a call to action on it. And it doesn't even have to be a page. Like I said, it could be a Facebook ad, you know, test your Facebook ads. It could be a pay-per-click ad. It could be, you know, a resource box, anything that has some type of call to action on it. And especially emails too. A lot of people don't test emails, which I think they're crazy. Because emails, you know, if you're doing email marketing, you should absolutely be split testing. It's a little more complicated. But you can do it. It takes a little bit longer. But that's good. Actually, I'll talk about that for a second. I wasn't going to, but I might as well. When you're testing your emails, there's only one or two different tools that you can do that with. What I would recommend is looking for – if you don't know how to test with an email, like an actual A-B test, and it's not in an autoresponder series, what I would do and what I do is you send out a broadcast and you test that broadcast, and what you're going to do is look for insights into how your audience thinks. So, for example, you can if you come out with a new special report, you can create that report in a video, in a PDF, or you can call it a cheat sheet instead of a special report, things like that. And then you test the subject line, so you could put, you know, free video, and then test that against free free ebook or something like that. And see what generates the most response from your audience, because then you know, they like videos more, or they like ebooks more, or they like audios more, or whatever the case is. So you're looking for insights like that, that you can use for future tests. Another one is that I like to do is with the links in the emails, instead of just having the link, www.x.com, the best thing that I've found in most markets, and again, you know, you have to test this on your own, which is with everything I say about testing, you have to do it on your own. You know, one test does not fit all, like a lot of people make you believe. So what you do is you put, let's just go back to, you know, you're giving away a free video. So you could, your link that you hyperlink in the email could say, you know, go here to get your free video. Right. And, you know, that's obviously, you know, you're linking it. So it's the blue link. And then what you do is go over one space and then put a backslash of an arrow and then two dashes. So it looks like a little mini arrow, and then put click here. And that I've seen that increase click through rates by about 15 to 20% in emails. So that's just, you know, it's a little insight that you can do. You know, once you figure out something like that, a little templated thing like that, then you could put it in all your emails. And when you get 5 or 10 or 15 of those little things, your email rates just start skyrocketing. So, you know, you might not be able to use that email again. You might be able to use a template of that email, you know, the subject line or whatever. But you can use those little insights that help you. It just gives you a better awareness of what your market wants. And that's really, really important. So I hope that, I hope that answers the question. I think I went over pretty much everything.
Yeah, no, you gave us some great ideas there, and I think some people are going to be surprised at some of the suggestions that you made, and to go back and look at, you know, and see if they're actually implementing that in their techniques and methods. So thank you for that.
Sure.
All right, so what are some of the most important elements to test on each of those pages you talked about?
Okay, so there, you know, again, this is, again, going to depend on what you're testing, what type of product you have or service, what type of website it is. But just in a general basic sense, one of the areas of the page that you should test first is the top of the page. And the reason that you should always test the top of the page, and basically this is above the fold. I know that term is going to be familiar with most people. So, you know, test above the fold before you do anything else, right? with the exception of the offer, which we'll get to in a minute. But test, you know, for a landing page, always test above the fold. So that could be the headline. You know, always test your form, you know, the email capture form above the fold. Although I'm running a test right now where I actually went against, you know, the current wisdom and moved the opt-in form below the fold, and actually conversions are up about 15% so far. So you should actually test that too, because, you know, best practices aren't always best practices. And that's why I love testing so much, because, you know, that kind of stuff excites me when I see stuff like that. but, you know, again, you know, just test above the fold, you know, the top of the page, the headline, you know, any kind of banners you have up there, even the logo, you can try testing a logo, your header design, you can test, you know, having a really big flashy header versus having, you know, a real small, just like a little logo header versus no header. And a lot of times no header actually works the best. And people, you know, go out and spend hundreds of dollars on headers and they actually decrease conversions and profits. Another thing you can test that you really, really, really should be testing is the order form. And the reason that you should test the order form is because there's actually two reasons. The first reason is because when people read the page, when people read sales letters or websites in general, I'm a long-form sales letter kind of guy, so I kind of think about those types of pages kind of automatically. So I'm trying to – you know, kind of make the, you know, my argument here applicable to anybody. But whenever somebody's reading, you know, people online these days, they don't really read the letter or the website, you know, whatever. They more like skim it, and then they look for, you know, different headlines that catch their attention, different images that catch their attention, and they dive into that copy once you capture their interest. So somebody, and most people this is, obviously some people read every word, but, you know, 80% of people will skim the page, and then if they find something interesting, they go in and read it. So when it comes to the order form, a lot of people, and this is how I actually read, a lot of people will read the headline, maybe read, you know, a couple of the, you know, the first paragraph, maybe the second paragraph, but just very little up the top. And then they skip down to see the price. And this is, you know, one reason they do this is because of boredom. Another reason is because they, you know, everybody's so busy, even though most people really aren't that busy. They just think they're busy, but it's, you know, they perceive that they're busy. So they, you know, they want to just jump in, say, okay, it's this much. Is that good for me? No, it's too much. And then they just hop off the page. So if your order form, that includes, clicking the add to cart button, you know, a lot of people have add to cart buttons on there. What I'm talking about, you can kind of use, if your actual order form, and by order form, by the way, I mean, this can also mean checkout page. Or the shopping cart or whatever. You know, a lot of people just have that blank and there's nothing on it. There's nothing about what they're getting. There's nothing about the guarantee. There's nothing about anything. It's just, you know, it's, you know, $37 and, you know, give me your credit card information. So, you know, what people do is they'll go to the page, click add to cart, and they go to that page. And if it says $37 or $97 or whatever it is, and they only have a really small glimpse of what they're getting, you're going to lose a lot of customers. And this is why, you know, shopping carts have about a 75% abandonment rate on average, 50 to 75 or so, sometimes actually a lot higher. And yes, those numbers are actually real. I test this stuff all the time, and it's scary that many people, you know, hit your shopping cart page and then actually leave. So you lose the sale. And the reason they leave is because, you know, they want to get to that, you know, to see how much it is really quick. And then they see the price and they're not convinced yet. So you have to do your best to try to convince them right on that page. And you basically, what you need to do on your order form or, again, your checkout page or your shopping cart page is you need to basically summarize your entire offer and all the benefits in like two or three paragraphs. Now you could do it if it's a very complicated product, you can make it longer and people usually read it. But in general, just a couple little paragraphs, which is challenging. It'll take you a while to figure out how to do that the right way. But it'll definitely increase your conversions quite a bit. I've seen tests where doing that increased conversions by, 20-30% easily. So the order form is definitely something that you have to test. The PS, is another one that you, in a lot of the tests that I've done, and for people that don't, they're not direct response, copywriting, guru or, followers like I am. The conventional wisdom is that the PS is the like second or third most read part on a sales letter, right? And I'm talking about long form sales letters, so I'll go really quick through this one, just because it's not going to apply to everybody. But the PS is supposedly the second or third most read piece on any sales letter. Online, I found that's not true whatsoever. I don't know how they got those numbers offline because, there's no real way to test that. I think it's just somebody just said it at one point and everybody just started believing it. But I've tested that a bunch of different times online, and people generally just go straight down the page. They don't fly to the bottom and read the PS and then go back up to the top like a lot of people say they do. I've actually watched people using Clicktail. Which, gives you like a video of people when they're on your website. I've actually watched them that way, and I've studied heat maps and all this kind of stuff. And so basically my point is you can test the PS. A lot of times it's not really going to make a big difference, but you can test it because in some instances it does. So it's a worthy test. Where I would test this is in emails because they're a lot shorter. People definitely still read them in emails, but not in longer form sales letters. Not as much. I usually only just put one PS anymore because it's worth spending a few minutes to put it in there. That one's not the most important, but it's one that you should test. Another really important thing that you should test is the type of media. So, you can test text versus video versus audio versus a mix of text and video, different types of video, animated versus really plain versus fancy versus, somebody live actually talking, all different types of media you can test. And along with video, also test the placement of that video. So you can test, having the headline and, the opening copy and then a video like kind of up in the upper right-hand corner of somebody talking. What I found is when you have a video like that, usually it's best to have some type of credible person. Like in the health field, you can put a doctor. They really bring a lot of credibility if you have a doctor there. If the face of the business is in some way credible, like if you're selling, how to sprint faster and the face of the business is, Maurice Green, I think his name is, he was a sprinter that I think he's retired now. I don't follow sprinting that much, but his name popped into my head. If he was kind of the spokesman for the website, then you definitely want to have him because people that are into that sport are going to know him. If you did it with football, Tom Brady, get Tom Brady on there, which would probably cost too much money, but you can get, kind of B and C level, athletes on there. And it does a very similar, amount of, increases in your conversions. And the other thing you should test is your offer, right? So there's different things you can test in your offer. The first thing you should absolutely, absolutely, absolutely test is the price, right? So a lot of people think, everybody else is charging this, so that's what I'm going to charge. This happens. I see this all the time at ClickBank. Whatever one person's charging, that's what everybody in that niche charges. But you know, they're kind of just, it's kind of just, you know, following the blind leader, because that first person probably didn't test to see if that price was the right price. There's been a lot of tests where, let's say, I have a test right now, actually. It's $39.95 versus $37, right? So there's just barely a little tiny difference, $2.95. But the $37 is beating the $39.95 by, I think it's somewhere around 33%, something like that. So you're losing, I don't know, it's maybe 2 or 3%, you know, of money on each sale, but you're gaining 30% more customers. So, you know, obviously, which one are you gonna use? So price is really, really important to test. Another thing that you can test is what they get, you know, so whether they get just an ebook, or an ebook plus an audio plus a, you know, two bonuses, or you know, digital versus physical. If they, what format they get it in. So you can do like an ebook versus putting it into a video versus putting it in audio versus all three of them together. Or, you know, there's tons of different things, but you know, test what they actually get, what, you know, what the package is. So, you know, they buy it, and when they get to their email, you know, what's there for them. Or if you're sending in the mail, you know, what do they get in the mail? Test, you know, exactly what they get, you know, what the offer is. And then the last thing when it, in terms of the offer is the terms. You know, so that could, you can test the guarantee. So, you know, 30-day, 60-day, 90-day, 6-month, a year. You know, you can test a double guarantee, you know, conditional. One conditional, one unconditional. So, you know, maybe 30 days unconditional where they can send it back no matter what, you know, even if it's, you know, they spent their last, you know, $50 and they have nothing left and they just need the money back, versus, you know, a year would be conditional. And maybe, you know, you give them double their money back, but only if they've proven that they've actually used and implemented, you know, whatever you're selling. So, there's a lot of different things you can test with, you know, terms of it, you know, and that for some of the people that are selling physical things, that can include the warranty and, you know, all those types of things. One thing that I would recommend is to go on Amazon and look at a bunch of different products on Amazon, because there's always different types of terms that you can find on Amazon that you can then use in your own business. So that's a pretty cool, you know, do it on like a Saturday afternoon or something. It's pretty fun.
Wow. You have so much amazing information there. So how many promotions or launches do you, or how many years of testing have you gone through to gain this much knowledge?
Let me see. I've been, probably about 7, somewhere in that area. I've been, cause I'm only 25 now, but
wow.
I've been doing this, since I was probably about 18, probably, you know, the first like two, possibly three years. I was kind of just dabbling in it. You know, trying to do my own little stuff. Although even back then I was still split testing, but I mean, I didn't even know basically what it was back then. But I was still doing testing back then. But I've been doing this, you know, as an actual professional, for probably, I would say 4 years or so.
Okay.
But the reason that I have, you know, so much kind of, you know, so much experience is that I don't just do it for myself. You know, I do it for clients. So I see, you know, I kind of get, you know, backdoor access to all of my clients, and all the tests they've already done, and, all the tests that I'm doing for them. And, you know, doing that in, you know, half a dozen different niches at one time and doing several tests in each of those niches, you know, it really adds up. I probably start about 5 new tests every week.
Wow.
You know, so I kind of have a very big breadth of information that I can, you know, get access to.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about what are some common mistakes you've seen marketers make while split testing.
Okay, this is a big one. I just mentioned that when I first started, I was doing my own split testing, but really didn't know much about it. Unfortunately, that's how most people still are today. This stuff is kind of, you know, it's like tying my shoe for me because I do it every single day for multiple clients and all that kind of stuff. But for most people, you know, they're so busy trying to run their business that they don't have the time or, you know, the patience to learn split testing. So they make a lot of mistakes, and they don't even – a lot of times most people don't even realize the mistakes they're making. One of them is I have I'll go through a couple of them. The first one is not getting valid results, and this is probably the biggest one. It's very close with a couple of them, but it's probably the biggest one. And the reason – let me give you an example. So let's say you're testing two variations of something. You know, let's just say you're testing two headlines, and one of them, you know, one of them just – you get lucky and – it's, you know, you get out of 100 visitors, you get, you know, eight people that that buy, you know, your product. So that's an 8% conversion rate. With the other version, you only get, say, two, right? So that's four times, you know, a lot of people at that point would say, oh, it's a 400% increase in your conversions. Well, it kind of is. It is at that point, but the reason that it's not valid is because there's not enough data to really give a solid number. Because, for example, if you flip a coin, you know, 50 times, you're not going to get 25 on heads and 25 on tails. You're going to get something like, you know, 37 on heads and 13 on tails, or, you know, 32 on heads and 28 on tails. Or, you know, you're not going to get an even split every time, you know. And that's how it is with people buying things, too. You know, it's going to be, like, basically the more conversions and the more visitors you have, the more valid your test is. So if you're starting a test and even if they have, you know, 10 and 20 conversions, so, you know, version A has 10 conversions, version B has 20, you probably didn't double your conversion, so don't get excited yet. You may have won, and it might even show a 95% confidence level in your split testing tool, which, you know, supposedly means that you won. But, you know, at 10 and 20 conversions, that's not enough data to really say that you actually won and it's valid. You know, so basically it's kind of hard to figure out when to stop. So my general guideline is I usually look for a minimum of 30 to 50 conversions for each variation before I make a decision. So if you have three variations, you want a total of at least 90, you know, which would be 30 each. It would actually come out more than that because some of them would have more. But, you want to look for at least 30 to 50 conversions for each one. And that depends a little bit on, if you have really low conversions, like if you get 30 conversions, with 1% conversion rate, that's going to be 3,000 visitors. Whereas if you get 30 conversions, but it's at, you know, 50%, that's only 60 visitors. So in that case, you know, with basically the higher, your conversion number is, the more your base level conversion should be for each of the variations, if that makes sense. You might have to read that over a few times. it would be a little bit easier to, you know, to actually show it, like, you know, write something out. But, you know, maybe read that a few times and it should sink in. So basically just, you know, when you're using a split testing tool, wait until it says at least 95% confident in your results. And wait for it to be at least 30 to 50 conversions for each of the variations. And that should, you know, in general, that should help the most people. You know, there are exceptions for some things and other things, you know, but just as a general sense, that's a good measurement to go by. The next thing is split testing stupid things. I like to call them, you know, you should test streams and not whispers. So a whisper is basically something like, you know, changing, like if you have a red headline, you know, changing that to blue or black. That's not going to get you a big result. You know, if you've been split testing for 5 years and you're just trying to eke out another 2%, 3%, you know, those types of things might be good for you. But for most people reading this, you should be split testing things that are going to make a big difference. For me, I always try to test things that could give me at least a 10 to 20% increase in conversions. If I think it's going to be less than that, I'm not going to even split test because it's not worth it. It's just going to take up, you know, months of your time, and you're not really going to get anything out of it. So some of the big things you can test, I already went over, you know, the top of the page. So you can test headlines. You can test the order form. You can test on landing pages, the call to action and the button. So like the color of button and the call to action. They're actually good tests on landing pages. But if you have a long form sales letter, if you have an orange add to cart button versus a red add to cart button, it's really not going to make a big difference. What would make a big difference is, you know, testing the price. You know, you might find, you know, that if you're selling your offer for $37 and you test it at $47, you might have the exact same conversion rate. And, you know, at first you would say, oh, you know, I didn't even increase conversions. But then if you look at it, your price just went up $10. So that's, you know, 30% that you went up. So you're actually making 30% more profit, even though, you know, at the same exact conversion rate, I love testing prices. You can tell it's a very, very fun thing to do. You know, because when you can get more, you know, it's easy money basically. And a lot of people kind of feel bad about testing price and charging more, but the way I look at it and the way you should look at it really is, you know, the more somebody pays for something, the more attention they're going to pay to it. I've paid just a couple months ago. I paid $4,000 for a mentor, for a one day session with the mentor. You know, what he told me, I went home and, you know, I had a notebook full of stuff and I went home and implemented it. Now, if I went up there and spent $50 for an hour consultation, you know, for somebody and spent like $50 or got a free consultation, I probably wouldn't implement anything. But, you know, the fact that I spent $4,000 for a mentor is, you know, why would I spend that much money and then not even pay attention to what he said? You know, you know, basically, what I'm getting at is just, you know, test things that are going to make a difference. You know, kind of set a minimum number that you're looking to hit and test things that would get that, you know, get that number. So, you know, videos, headlines, the offer, the price, you know, all kinds of different things like that. New themes, new leads, you know, like a completely different video style, you know, things like that they're very dramatic changes. And do all, you know, do the dramatic changes first, and then once you've done all the dramatic changes, then you can start doing smaller things, like replacing one section of copy or, you know, things like that. Another mistake I see is following best practices, and I kind of hinted at this a little bit before with my test that I talked about the one that's going on right now, and I think it's at like 91%, so it is fairly accurate. But I'm still letting it go another couple days. But, you know, you can – basically what I do with best practices is I start with the best practices. So, like, if I'm writing a sales letter for myself or one of my clients, what I do is I follow all the best practices, and you start with that as your baseline. But then after that, you know, you test that at first, make sure it wins. Once it wins – then you start testing all those supposed best practices. And a lot of times you're going to find that those best practices actually decrease your conversions. The reason that is basically because, you know, one size doesn't fit all with testing. I mean, you're talking about a different market, a different product, a different service, whatever you're selling, a different time, a different price. So not everything is going to work in every market. I've still not found a single thing in marketing that works for every single market. You know, right now we're kind of just getting in or just past the video sales letters. You know, everybody's all, you know, video sales letters. Oh, they're the god of marketing. Your conversions are going to increase 300%, blah, blah, blah. They really don't. That might happen for some markets. But I've been testing video, really, really, really heavily for the last year or so. And in some markets it increases, in some markets it decreases it. In a lot of markets it stays the exact same. You know, I've done, you know, just for people who are video fanatics out there, and, you know, listen to the gurus about everything. I have actually tested probably about a half a dozen times, testing the exact same copy that we just, you know, took from the text sales letter and put it into a video sales letter. I mean, exact same copy, and it gave the exact same conversion rate. So in the markets I've tested at least, you know, video sales letters don't do all that much. What I have found with videos, though, is that having a hybrid approach, so you have the text sales letter, and then you have a video on the page, which enhances the sales letter. So like I was talking about before, on one of my clients' pages, I wrote the sales letter, you know, text sales letter, and then we got a doctor to endorse his product. And we put his endorsement, as soon as we introduce the product, we have an endorsement video from that doctor, and that increased conversions quite a bit. So, you know, think kind of outside the box. Don't do whatever, you know, all the gurus are doing. A lot of times what you're going to find is if you really looked, you know, kind of under their hoods, the gurus are not making that much money and really don't know what they're talking about. A lot of them do. You know, I'm not knocking all, you know, the big IM gurus, but some of them, I know from personal experience, just aren't. I won't name any names because I'm not that kind of guy. But, you know, basically what I'm saying is test everything. You know, that's kind of the basic principle. You know, test every single thing that you do, every change you make, every new product you have. You know, you can test product names. You know, test everything because, you know, I can sit here and say that, you know, this test did this and this test did that, but, you know, I don't know your market. I don't know your product, how the people feel in your market, you know, what they're jaded against, you know, what your competitors are doing, you know. So it's, you know, just test everything. I'll just leave it at that. Another mistake that I see is not splitting up traffic or following analytics, which actually shows you which traffic is the most effective. So this is basically segmentation. So what you should be doing is segmenting your market. And there's a lot of different segmentations that you can do. But just to, you know, this, again, depends on the market and the audience and the product and the service and all that kind of stuff. But what you need to be testing and segmenting is you should have a prospect list. So if people are on your free report, you know, five ways to do this or that, five mistakes you shouldn't do or whatever it is. You know, they're your prospects. They haven't spent any money with you yet. And then as soon as they buy something, they should go on to a buyer's autoresponder for, you know, whatever they bought. So if they bought, your report, you know, showing them how to, build a toy box. I don't know. you know, they should go on to a product, a buyer's autoresponder for people who bought that product. So that would be segmenting prospects from buyers. Okay. Other, you know, different types of segmentation. That's going to be the biggest one that everybody on this call can implement. Another thing that you can do is if you use a CRM like Infusionsoft. You can, if somebody clicks on a link or goes visits a certain page, you can segment them. So if you send them an email and you ask them if they're male or female and they click male, they can actually be tagged as a male. And then, like if you're selling a weight loss product and you come out with, you know, how to get six pack abs, you can segment those people and just send that to the males and then create, you know, a very similar, very similar product, but for women. So, you know, how to get a flat toned stomach in 30 days, you know, while you're watching Oprah all day, you know, and everybody who clicked on female, you can then send them that. And your conversions for when you split it up like that are gonna skyrocket. So just, you know, think about the different ways that you could segment your audience. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. You can do it by geography, by age, by sex, by religion if you want to. You know, there's tons of different ways that you can do it. When I'm writing sales letters, a lot of times clients will have me write basically three of them. One is for warm traffic, so that would be, you know, your own list. One is for cold traffic, which might be, you know, something like pay-per-click. And then one sometimes for either affiliates, which could also go into – that's kind of a mix of warm and cold traffic because they may or may not know you, and they're being sent from somebody that they do trust. So it's, I kind of see that as a mix between both. So I usually separate that. But, you know, have a separate page just for affiliates or a separate page just for media buys if you do banner buys or email buys or anything like that, which probably very few people on this call do that. That's like a really high level. You know, that's when you're spending, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 at a clip, you know, to buy a very, very large package of traffic. So, you know, basically, you know, go through, look and see what you can segment in your audience and then, you know, segment them. Another thing is waiting too long. You know, people just, and this actually kind of goes into another one, which is being afraid. You know, so waiting too long is kind of, it happens because you're afraid of doing it, or you're just, you know, you don't think you have the time or whatever the excuse is. You really don't have an excuse not to do split testing. You know, like I said, it can double your profits, you know, triple them, quadruple them. It can do some really, really amazing things, and it should be considered just as important as anything else you do in your business, you know, just as important as doing SEO and doing pay-per-click and creating products and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because it can make just as much or more profits than all those things can do, you know? So basically the way to get past that mistake is just to, you know, stop making excuses for not split testing and split test, you know, start doing it. So that one's pretty easy.
All right. Awesome.
Go ahead.
How are we doing on time here for you, Jeremy? I know we're a little bit over.
Good. Yeah, I don't have anything.
But I'm okay if you want to keep going.
Sure.
All right. So let's talk about what types of results people can see from split testing.
Okay. So, you know, we already talked about this kind of inadvertently through everything I was talking about. This, you know, it really depends on what you're testing. With small things like buttons, you know, you might get, you know, 5% increase, 10, maybe 15% at most. And the 15, like the 10 and 15, that would be more for a landing page, like if you're selling a free report. But, you know, I recommend doing bigger things such as testing, you know, testing out long form copy, that's what I specialize in. So obviously I'm a little bit biased towards it. But I have a lot of clients that, you know, that didn't think – that have kind of, you know, websites with a lot of navigation. They're very pretty looking, you know, those kind of things. And they came – you know, they come to me and say, you know, our conversions aren't very good. You know, what can you do to help us? So, you know, a lot of times I say, well, the first thing we should do is test out, you know, long form versus what you have now. Or if it is just one page that they already have, you know, testing out a longer form, you know. So like a lot of websites that I go to have a very limited sales pitch, you know, if you will, on the page. So and they're, you know, I've seen cases where people were selling $500 products and they have, you know, six paragraphs of text. I mean, really, how can you sell something that's $500 in six paragraphs? I mean, it's pretty much impossible. You can't do it. So, you know, long form copy is one thing that I love to test. Obviously, you know, again, I'm biased in it. But you know, that's where you're going to see the biggest increases is testing dramatic changes like that. You know, long copy beats shorter copy in the vast majority of cases. You know, in some cases it doesn't. In some cases, in most cases it does. Some cases, like for example, you know, Apple, they have, if they started doing long copy, it probably wouldn't sell all that great. Now long copy, I mean the kind of, like a direct mail long copy kind of thing where it's, you know, there's a headline and it's a person actually talking to you. I think they could sell more stuff if they gave more, more information about some of their products. But with them, they have just such a cult following them. Like, I know when they come out with something, I just buy it, you know, just because I'm obsessed with them. Unfortunately, most online companies don't have, you know, a multi, you know, $100 million ad budget to be able to do that, you know. So for most online people, you have to have a longer explanation of why they should buy your product. You know, people don't just buy things because they like spending money, especially now. You know, the economy is going down the chute. People are really, really, you know, tightening up their wallets. And it's harder to sell things. You know, conversions are really going down lately, and it's because people are being a lot more picky with what they buy. So if you have a page and you're selling something for, you know, whatever price, and you're not explaining to them why they should buy it, you're not overcoming their objections, you're not, you know, generating their interest, they're not going to give you their money, you know. So, you know, I'm kind of getting a little bit off topic here. With long form, but you know, it does kind of tie into the results you can get. You know, you can basically get anywhere from 5% increase or negative increase, which it's not a bad thing if you do. It just, that helps you figure out what not to do next. that's how I look at it, at least. But anywhere from, you know, a couple percent increase, to, you know, 200-300%, you know, if you really aren't connecting with their audience, and then you find something that is, you know, in most cases, I would say it's anywhere from like, you know, a good solid test that I'm proud of to do is anywhere from 10 to like 40 or 50%. You know, if you do that, it adds a lot to your bottom line, you know, assuming you're not making $100 a month. And it's, you know, it's definitely reasonable to do. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. I have one client that I was testing his landing page for 4 months, and we could not find anything that beat his control. And then all of a sudden we did something, and it increased his conversions by, I think it was like 35%, you know. So, it takes time. Split testing isn't something that you're going to do once and triple your profits. You know, everything kind of compounds on top of each other. If you get a, you know, 10% increase here, and then a 15% increase here, and then another 10%, and then a 30%, you know, it all really, it snowballs upwards, I guess you could say. You know, it really compounds on top of each other, and, you know, you can get your conversions up really, really quick. So, you know, basically to sum up, you know, the results you can get, it depends on what you're testing. You know, anywhere from, you know, a couple percent to, like I said, 40, 50 or higher, 100%. After 100%, you're really, that's when you should really consider yourself lucky. most tests don't get over that. Some do, you know, but that's more of like a once in a blue moon kind of thing. And that's when you deserve to go out and treat yourself to something nice. But, you know, again, it really just depends. You know, test big dramatic changes and not small changes, and you're going to get bigger results faster.
All right, Jeremy, thank you so much. That was absolutely awesome. I think you're giving us so much information. People are going to be implementing stuff in their methods and techniques for months to come.
Yeah, I'm happy to give it. It's fun for me, you know, to talk about everything I do, because I do this on a daily basis, and I have all this stuff kind of, you know, rolling around inside my head, and it's fun to help people, you know.
Awesome. So I know you've put together a special offer for our audience, so let's go ahead and tell them more about that.
Okay. So, you know, like I've mentioned a few times throughout the call that, I don't have any products or anything like that on how to increase your conversions. I will in the future. I'm actually working on one right now, but it's not ready, so I won't even say that one right now. Basically, you know, the best way that you can get help from me is, to work with me. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. I have a lot of experience. I do this every single day of my life, so I've seen, you know, a lot. I know what to test, what not to test. And basically, you know, I know my specialty is taking what people already have and, looking throughout their entire marketing funnel and finding the holes in their marketing funnel and filling those holes. And it's kind of like having a leaky bucket. You know, you start pouring water in it, and you can imagine the water as being money that your customers are giving you. And right now, you know, it's like somebody came with a shotgun and started blowing holes in the bottom of your bucket. You know, that money is gonna start. It's just right now, it's pouring out the bottom of your bucket, and that's because of low conversions and different areas of your website that aren't maximized. If you should have an upsell in one place and you don't, you should have reactivation letters in other areas or whatever it is. There's hundreds of ways to basically maximize your sales funnels. And that's what I do. So I guess, you know, the best way, for me to help you is, to go to my website, and I have a little form on my website that you can fill out. And we can just talk, you know, I'm not going to charge you anything. We'll talk for about a half hour and, see if I can help you. I do charge, a pretty good amount of money, for what I do for reasons that, I'm sure you just realized. It's more of a in terms of value over money, whenever I take on a new client, my number one goal is to make them, 10 times whatever they're paying me, in a short amount of time. I have one client that I was just working for, and I've actually been working for a year. And he did a product launch, just a real small product launch. It wasn't even like with affiliates or anything. It was just an internal launch. And, I got him a 600% ROI in what he made me in I think it was the first 3 days. That's kind of how I like to work with clients. You may or may not know what you need to be doing. A lot of the people I work with know they need to do a lot of these things that I've been talking about, but they just don't have the time because they're trying to manage, their employees, they're trying to create new products, they're trying to, create new marketing campaigns and all this stuff. So they don't have time to split test and to create new sales letters and all that kind of stuff. So what you can do is go to www.jeremyreeves.com/interview.html. And there's, you go on that page, you can find out more about me. There's a form on there, to work with me. And again, it's just to get in touch. We'll have a, 30-minute conversation. It's completely free. I'm not going to charge you for anything. If it seems like, we should work together, then we will. And, we'll figure out how I can help you the best. I don't like having boilerplate services for people, simply because everybody I talk to is different and everybody needs something different, when you're filling in holes in your marketing funnel, the best thing to do is look for the biggest hole and fill that first, go to that website. Again, it's www.jeremyreeves.com/interview.html. There's a form right at the top of the page you can fill out. There's also, a couple other ways to get in touch with me, my email address, my phone number, my Skype name. And there's more about me and what I've done for people. I talked, in the beginning a little bit about, you know, who I've worked for. I didn't really talk about the results I've gotten for people. So you can go on that page and see the results I got for people. I just put a new testimonial out there, I think 2 or 3 days ago, a guy named Pat Rigsby. I've been actually working with him for a few years, and he has, I think it's seven different businesses, a network of websites that kind of create one business. And I made an email campaign that synchronized all of his network of websites. And he just sent me an email and told me that I increased his revenue from his follow-up from his email campaign by over 270%.
Wow.
You know, so that's, yeah, I was even a little shocked to see that one. but it was, you know, that's what I love about working with people is getting those things and just, you know, hearing the smile on their face, you know, as they tell me. So go to that page. There's a lot more that you can find out about me. And you know, if you don't know what you need, that's perfectly fine. You know, a big part of my job is helping you figure that out. A lot of people I work with, just, you know, in case you, you know, if you know, whether you would be right to work with me, most of my clients make at least, like $250,000, a year online. I've worked with people less, kind of depends on how, aggressive you are and how much you want to build your business. But that's, you know, that's just kind of a general guideline. To know if you would be right for me and you to work together. Go to that page. Again, it's www.jeremyreeves.com/interview.html. And just, you know, go there, check it out, you know, and see if, you know, if you want to work with me. If you do, that's great. You know, if you don't, that's fine. You know, I definitely am not for everybody. But if you're really serious about growing your online business or even your offline business, I do a lot of stuff kind of hybrid marketing where it's online and offline, then I look forward to talking to you.
Okay, awesome. And, Jeremy, I just want to point out to everybody that you've had have such an impressive client list that includes Mark Victor Hansen, Robert Allen, Jesse Canone, Laurel Langmire. And you have dozens of testimonials on your website, so I encourage everyone to go check that out. And I just want to say thank you so much to you for spending the time with us today.
Sure. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, this is Jeremy back here again. I hope you really enjoyed that interview. I had a really fun time doing it with Tammy, and I think it's going to help you quite a bit if you actually put those ideas and strategies to work and implement them in your life. What I'd like you to do now is head over to my website. You can find more information about me, you know, my services, products, all that kind of stuff at www.jeremyreeves.com. All right, see you there.